Thanks for reading, Izzy. Good morning, everyone. Morning. My name is Michael. I am one of the pastors of this church, and we're doing something a little bit different this Sunday. We're doing another training Sunday. The last one that we did was a few months ago on one-to-one discipleship. This one will be on welcoming. It's our vision for this year to grow in this particular area. So we'll be learning what God has to say about welcoming from the Bible, as well as seeing some of the statistics and practicalities of welcoming at our church as well. One of the big things about our training Sundays too is that also we'll be learning from each other. So we'll have small times during the talk where we'll discuss things with one another as well. And the other thing that I wanted to say kind of before we head in is that I'm going to be praying also for our youth and our youth leaders who are currently at KIC conference. So that's the reason why a lot of familiar faces are not here this Sunday. The youth leaders and a lot of the youth are at Eleanora Heights and they're watching what's going on in Katoomba remotely, but kind of taking some time away as a youth group to spend some time together. So I'll be praying for them as well. Please join me as we pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the youth of our church, and we thank you for the opportunity that they have to go away for a weekend and to learn from your word over the course of 3 days. Thank you for the youth leaders who are able to care for them as well. Lord, we pray that this weekend may be a beneficial weekend for them as far as their relationship with you is concerned. Please let your word hit their hearts. Let them be encouraged by your word to be strong and courageous like your son, Jesus Christ, especially in a world that is becoming kind of more and more hostile to Christianity. Lord, we pray that they may be strengthened in their faith. We pray also that as they go away for the weekend, that they may encourage and love one another, and that you might build those bonds of relationship and fellowship between them as well. And Lord, as we turn our thoughts to think about welcoming, we know that you are the God who welcomes us into your family. We know that even though we were separated from you and when we didn't want you in our lives, you loved us and brought us in through your son, Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we pray that as we look into your word, that we may see that heart of welcome that you have for us. And we pray that we may have that same heart to those who are outside your family. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In a book that I was reading this week, there was a true story about a person in a church who took the leaders of his church on a trip to the local TAB. You can imagine that going to the TAB and betting on sporting events was not the kind of thing that these people usually did, but that was the whole point of the exercise. And the book goes that this was a place that none of these men had ever been before, and it was an instructive experience. They were dressed very differently from everyone else. They didn't know where to stand or where to look. They tried to work out what to do by following the signs and imitating the guys standing around, but found it difficult. And when they finally went to place bets, they felt embarrassed and totally out of place. I'd be willing to bet, that most of us would probably feel the same way if we had to step into the TAB at Hornsby and place a bet. We'd feel awkward. We wouldn't know what to do. We'd probably feel so embarrassed about being different that we probably wouldn't want to be there. And the book then continues, this is what church feels like for many outsiders. This feeling about church is something that we often miss because we are on the inside here, but there are times when you really notice it, don't you? And I think one of those times when you really notice it is when you bring a friend along. Because when you bring a friend along, you notice every word that is said that your friend wouldn't understand. You notice every activity that we do, like praying or turning to a part of the Bible that your friend wouldn't know how to do. You notice the little things about church that are just a tad embarrassing. Maybe the things some people say, or the decor, or the quality of the service. You know, there are times when even we, who have been here for so long, can sympathize with what it's like to be an outsider at our church. So what do we do about that? Now, imagine that you are the TAB and you are trying to help these guys out who have just come into your place. You know, what you probably wouldn't do is you probably wouldn't stop being the TAB. You know, you're invested in that. You're not going to change who you are. But what you might do is you might do everything the TAB could do to make these guys feel welcome. Now, you can maybe reassure these guys that it's okay to be new here. You could express in some way that these people won't be judged for not being like the regulars. You might walk them through the process of how they can use your services. Now, I'm not going to talk about the ethics of going to the TAB today. That's for another talk. I would like to talk about that. But now we're going to talk about becoming a more welcoming church, which is actually kind of similar to becoming a more welcoming TAB. We're not going to change who we are, but I think there are ways in which we can make the whole process easier and smoother for people who come in. And the way that we're going to do this is firstly by looking at what the Bible has to say. Secondly, we're going to look at the stats about church welcoming. And then thirdly, we're going to look through how we would like this particular church, Cross Life, to be welcoming, because different churches are going to welcome in different ways. And so firstly, we're going to look at what the Bible has to say. And as with everything in the Christian life, we've got to say that it starts with the heart. You see, Christianity is not primarily about doing the right things. Christianity is primarily about having the right heart. When I was a medical student in first year, they had a subject on how we should communicate with people. They probably figured that as first year medical students, we needed it. There were lots of overseas students in our year, lots of nerds as well, so we didn't know how to talk with people. And so what they did was they taught us things like how to ask the right questions to get people talking, how to have the right kind of body language that lets people know that you're interested in them. They taught us even down to saying little things like uh-huh and to encourage people to keep talking. Now, you might have undergone some kind of training like that yourself. You know, maybe if you've ever worked in like a restaurant or retail, or if your job involves a lot of talking to people, and it's great that that kind of training happens. I'm sure that that has helped you. But at the same time, I think if you've gone through it, you also know that it's not enough, right? You know, it's possible to do all those things, to say the right words and do the right actions, but still, it doesn't make people feel welcome. You might have experienced this yourself, maybe, with someone who's welcoming you or talking to you, and there's kind of a fakeness about it. It looks like it's welcoming, and people say that it should feel welcoming, but it's not, because there's this kind of special sauce that's missing when they're talking to you. Well, as Christians, we know why that's the case. Because Christianity teaches us that mere rule-keeping is not enough. That going through the right motions is not enough. It's not enough to impress God. It's not what God wants for us in our lives. God wants to change us, not just on the outside, but on the inside as well. He wants to change us from the heart outwards. And that's what Jesus was getting at when he said stuff like, God's command to not murder is also about not being angry. God's command to not commit adultery is also about not desiring people outside your marriage. Taking an oath shouldn't be necessary if you are honest in everything that you say. Jesus said all those things, and he's trying to say that God is interested in more than what's on the outside, more than what people can see. God is interested in more than what you can just post on your social media feed to show how good you are. God is interested in your heart. And so when it comes to welcoming, when we as Christians think about welcoming, it's not enough for us to just look welcoming. As Christians, we want to be welcoming. We want to be welcoming people from the heart. And the way that God changes our hearts is through the work of his Holy Spirit, working together with his word as we pray and ask God to change our hearts. It's the Spirit, it's the word, it's our prayers all working together. And so what does God's word say about welcoming? Well, firstly, we see that God is a welcoming God. God does not restrict himself to just people who are like him. God doesn't hang out only with people who are like him. You know, if that was the case, God would never have bothered making the world. God the Father has already got God the Son and God the Spirit to hang out with. God doesn't need human beings to have relationship and fellowship. He's already got all that. And so you've got to see that even God's act of creating the world, even God's act of creating us, is an expression of how welcoming God is. God welcomes people who are different from him. It says in Acts chapter 17, verses 26 to 27, the passage that we read, that from one man God made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. See, when it comes to God's plan to bless the world as well, God doesn't restrict his plan to bless the world to just one nation that he likes or just one person or his own family. He says to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Now, he chooses Abraham first, but his big plan is to use Abraham to bless all the peoples of the earth. God wants to welcome people of all nations back to him. God is a welcoming God. And we see that God wants his people in the Bible to have that same welcoming character that he does as well. God instructs Abraham's descendants, the Israelites, in the law, do not oppress an alien. You yourselves know how it feels to be aliens because you were aliens in Egypt. And he says to them as well, you either have the same law for the alien and the native born. I am the Lord, your God. In God's people, there's not one rule for the rich and another one for the poor. Strangers are to be treated equally under the law and before God. And then when Jesus dies on the cross, well, it's even clearer. Jesus accepted people when he walked on the earth. He accepted the people that the Jews of the time typically looked over. He accepted children, foreigners, prostitutes, tax collectors. The New Testament over and over pushes the idea that all people, whatever skin color or age or job that you have, all of them can repent of the wrong things that they've done. All of them can believe that Jesus has died for their sins. And all of them can receive forgiveness and acceptance and welcome from God. God excludes no one who wants to be part of his people. Talking about Jews and Gentiles, it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18, for through him, that's Jesus, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. And Romans chapter 15, verse 7 says, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. See, the big message of the Bible, the gospel of Jesus, tells us that we were strangers to God. We are not God, and we're not even like God. And even worse than that, we didn't like God. We'd rejected God. We had sinned. But God welcomes us through Jesus. And if we claim to follow Jesus, we will welcome people who are strangers to us also. Now, what does that mean for this church and welcoming? Well, a few things, just this kind of preliminary stuff. Firstly, I think it means that knowing how God welcomed us should change our hearts so that we have a genuine desire to welcome and include strangers into the life of our church. And that desire should overpower other desires that we might have for church. For example, if we're following the heart of God, we will want to welcome strangers more than we want to be ourselves. Words like be yourself or be true to yourself or you do you is a big thing nowadays. It's this idea called expressive individualism that we looked into last year. And as Christians, we can't fully agree with that be yourself kind of thinking because to be myself is to be a sinful person. For me to do me means me doing the things that reject God. The Bible doesn't call us to be ourselves. The Bible calls us to deny ourselves. The Bible doesn't call us to do things that match with who we are. The Bible calls us to do things which match with who God is. And I kind of think to myself, you know, if it comes to this church, and if my big motto in life at church is to be myself, what kind of things would I do? Well, I think probably some of the things that I would do is I'd only talk to people who are like me about the things that I like. And because there are not tons of people at this church who are like me and who like the things that I like, I would therefore probably not talk at all and go off and read a book somewhere. I'd probably leave really early after church, but only after going to the morning tea table and eating more food from the morning tea table than I even usually eat. See, all those things that I want to do, I don't get to do those things and then pretend that I'm following Jesus, because none of those things show that self-denial, none of those things show that heart of welcome that God has shown to me. And so if it comes to time during church or before church or after church, and you are doing exactly what you feel like, there's probably something wrong. The only situation in which it would be completely right for you to do exactly what you feel like is if you are completely 100% like Jesus already, which I know you're not. And so instead of be yourself, Christians say, be who you are in Jesus Christ. Instead of you do you, Christians say, do what honours God. If we're following the heart of God, we'll want to welcome strangers more than we welcome ourselves. I think another implication that comes out of this is that if we are following the heart of God, we'll also want to welcome strangers more than we want our church to be a safe haven for ourselves. If we're following God, we will not want our church to be a place where we can feel safe and comfortable and protected from the outside world. And that's what some people want from their church. But if that's what you want, you will not welcome strangers. Because churches who prioritize safety and comfort for their own members, they tend not to bring strangers in. They threaten that safety and security. And you can see what happens to churches like that. They become locked in one generation of people. They just do the things that they like. They're out of touch with the world outside. And then after a while, they look at the world outside and then they wonder why other people don't join them. Whereas churches who welcome, well, they want to protect certain things. They want to keep certain things safe. They want to keep the truth about Jesus safe, the teaching of the Bible safe. But they'll be willing to be flexible on other things, things like maybe music style or the words that we use or the way that we explain things so that other people can feel welcome. And we'll see our encounters with people who are different from us, not as threats to our safety, but as an opportunity to grow. If we are following the heart of God, we want to welcome strangers more than we want our church to be a safe haven for ourselves. Now, what we're going to do at this point is we're going to take a break here. We've just actually done our Bible bit for today, and so it might be good to kind of talk about that with the people around you. And so maybe find some people around you and talk about what God has just said, what your response is to that kind of thing. To help to stimulate your thinking, I've got the three questions from the Swedish method up on the screen. So Swedish method, there are three questions that generally you ask when you're reading something. There's a light bulb, what's something new or interesting that stood out for you? There's a question mark, what questions do you still have? And there's an arrow as well, what are you going to do in response to this? And so if that helps you to respond to that, and then maybe kind of share your answer to one of those questions with the people around you. If you've got your own response anyway, just kind of chat about that with your people, and I'll bring us back in a few minutes. Go for it. All right, guys. What I might get you to do is stay in your groups there because we've looked at what the Bible says about welcoming. We're going to spend a very short amount of time looking at the statistics of welcoming. So stay in your groups because I've got three multiple choice questions next for you. So you're not going to be marked on this. It's okay. But for each question, I want you to kind of discuss in your group kind of what you think is the right answer and just talk about kind of why, that kind of thing, your reasons. I won't get you to say your answers publicly. It's just to get you thinking for your own thinking. The data here comes from a guy named Gary McIntosh and his team, and it appears in his book titled Growing God's Church. And so first question I want you to talk about is, what in a church service is most influential on whether a guest returns to church? And so A is the quality of a sermon, B is the quality of the music, C is the quality of the children's ministry, D is the friendliness of the church. So kind of talk about that. What in a church service is most influential on whether a guest returns to church? What do you reckon? All right. I hope you've discussed a little bit. So the answer is D, it's the friendliness of the church. So the quote is, for many church attendees, the main reason they stay in a church is related in one way or another to the friendliness of the congregation. Now, for all those things, we want them all to be good, but friendliness is the most decisive factor. The factor that doesn't actually turn up a lot is the quality of the sermon. So the quality of the sermon out of those four is the least influential, which is kind of sad, but that's just kind of the way that things are. Music and children's ministry are second. So there you go. Question two. What is the factor that most influences a person when they judge how friendly a church is? A, the number of jokes told by the pastor. If that's the case, then we have problems. B, the people up front, so the people who are Bible reading, prayer and praying and sharing, introducing themselves. C, the number of conversations a person has after church. And D, the use of language that explains things to outsiders. What is the most influential on friendliness, as far as rating friendliness? Have a talk about that. All right, you ready for the answer? Okay, answer to this question is C. It's the number of conversations a person has after church. I think the reason for that is that if you have a decent number of conversations after church, it is more likely that you'll be welcomed by people who it's not their job to welcome you. You know what I mean? So if you just talk with the pastor after church, well, you kind of expect that. It's their job. If the people who are kind of ushering just talk to you after church, well, it's their job. They're ushering. But the more people that talk to you, the more you get the impression, actually, these people are talking to me not because it's their job, but because they're interested kind of in my life, in me. Third question, final question. What is the most critical time for a person who is judging how friendly a church is? So is the most critical time the time right before the church service? After, like, you know, they go through the door, they're waiting for the service to start. B, the time during the church service itself. C, the time right after the church service. Or D, during the week after the guest attends the church service. Have a talk about that. Okay. Got your thoughts? You got your answers? I think a lot of these are like all the times that are kind of very, very important, right? And you can kind of see how a lot of them would affect how a person kind of feels welcomed at church. For this one, the time that is most influential, most critical, is the time right after the church service, because that's when people tend to leave, and it's also when conversations happen as well, right? The more natural conversations happen. So the 10 minutes immediately following the worship service are the most important minutes in your guest's visit. All right, good work, everyone. So now return to your seats, kind of just stay there. We will look at welcoming at Cross Life now. If we want people to enjoy being at our church, we've got to work on our friendliness. Biggest measure that influences our church's friendliness is the number of conversations that our guests have with people after church. Key time to do that, straight after our service. What does that look like specifically for our church? How does our church kind of put these kinds of things into practice? How do we put into practice that heart of welcoming that we saw from God's word? I'll talk about a few things I think that are most relevant for us, especially as welcoming is concerned. And so first thing, which hopefully comes as no surprise, is that we want everyone to be involved in welcoming. And yes, that includes you. So other churches have a welcoming team. They have people rostered on for welcoming on a Sunday. And so welcoming is kind of like a job for them. It's like playing the guitar or manning the PowerPoint slides. The idea is that while you're sitting in church, you think, oh, it's great that someone else does that so that I don't have to do it. That's not what we want to happen at our church regarding welcoming. We've just seen from God's word that the Bible calls all Christians to have that heart of welcoming. It doesn't call all Christians to have the heart of playing the guitar or serving on the PowerPoint, but it does have all Christians to have a welcoming heart. And so we have that heart at all times, not just when we're rostered on. And so at Cross Life, we do have people who are rostered on for welcoming. They are the first point of contact for our guests, but that doesn't mean that the rest of us are off the hook there. And especially in a church of our size, if we want to have a friendly culture where guests have a decent number of conversations after church with different people, that's only going to happen if we all see ourselves as welcomers. And so I want to encourage you every Sunday when you come to church, keep an eye out for people who are new. If you see someone new, make it your aim at least to introduce yourself and get to know them a bit and thank them for coming. Introduce them to someone else at church who they might gel with. And we've all got to see that as our job, all right? It's not just helping our church to grow, but it's actually all of us living out the Christian lives that we are supposed to live. Okay, at Cross Life, we want everyone to be involved in welcoming. Second thing at Cross Life is that we want to respect where people are at. It's been a long time since I went out on a first date with someone. But there are certain things when you go on a first date that are completely inappropriate to ask on a first date that it's totally okay for people to find out later on, right? When you're on a first date, you don't ask about previous relationships. Or you don't ask about a person's income. You don't ask their political preferences. You don't ask questions that show some sort of judgment of the other person. How can you work in a job like that? Why weren't you a better friend to that person? You know, you don't ask how many kids a person wants to have on a first date, right? There are certain things that are appropriate, certain things that are inappropriate. And I think in the same way, there are conversation topics that are very appropriate for someone who's first comes to church and some that aren't. For a first-time visitor, I think it's most appropriate to assume, if you don't know otherwise, like if they haven't told you, right, that if a person's coming in for the first time, you don't know them, that a person's just kind of testing the waters with us. They're just giving us a go. It's kind of like the first date. And we want to respect that. And what's the goal when you have a first date? Your goal is just to get a second date. It's just to be welcoming and nice enough that you create kind of that, I guess, that feeling of welcome and safety for people. And that means that for a person who you're meeting for the first time in church, don't ask them deep and personal questions. Don't ask them how their marriage is going. Don't challenge them even, I think, about their faith in Jesus yet or their lack thereof. You know, we might want to say those things, but I think instead it might be kind of a bit more helpful to talk about things like how they came to be at church. What was kind of their pathway? Do they know anyone from this church who brought them here? All those kind of innocent get-to-know-you questions. Don't invite them to our ministries just yet. We don't ask a first-timer whether they want to join a growth group or do a one-to-one. Don't put them on the spot like that. Though what we might do in respect to that is we might just kind of mention that we have them and say how good they are and say how kind of beneficial we have found them to be ourselves. Don't ask questions as well that make people feel awkward. And I think the biggest one for churches is the question that you ask when you say, are you coming back next week? Because if a person's answer to that is no, it just puts them in a kind of really awkward position, or even if they don't know. And so respect where people are at. If a guest keeps coming, then that might be a signal that they're more interested. And I think maybe that's the time to ask if they want to be involved more. Okay, so at CrossLife, we want to respect where people are at. Finally, at CrossLife, we want to practice our heart of welcoming on the people who are already here. We want to practice our heart of welcoming on the people who are already here. In Christianity, there is this idea that what a Christian learns in church flows out into the rest of the world. You learn how to love people outside the church by firstly learning how to love people in the church. You learn how to speak God's words into the lives of people outside the church by firstly learning how to speak God's words to other people inside the church. And for welcoming, it's the same. You learn how to welcome strangers by first learning how to welcome people within your own church. You know, if a guest comes into church, how can you expect to be a good welcomer to them if your entire church life has just been you hanging out with the people that you like? How can you expect to be hospitable and friendly and loving when you've had no practice at it? On the other hand, though, the opposite, if your church has been this rich experience of meeting people who are different from you, learning from them, understanding those differences, learning the minefields that you don't step on, putting aside your selfishness, trying different things, if you've done all that in your Christian life, in your church life, how much better a welcomer are you going to be? And so my encouragement to you is to practice on the people who are already here. If there is someone that you don't know well at church, go up to them and find out a bit about them. If you don't know their name and you feel like you should know their name, apologize and ask them. Or the other way to do it is you can discreetly ask me. Okay, it's okay, I won't tell. But if you can't do welcoming with people who are your brothers and sisters in Christ, how can you expect to do it with total strangers? Christians are to consider themselves as welcomers even when there are no guests to welcome, because we are meant to welcome each other. And the better we get at that, the better we get at welcoming strangers. At CrossLife, we want to practice our heart of welcoming on the people who are already here. And I think if we keep on working on this, hopefully a guest's experience at our church is going to be better than that of a bunch of church leaders at the TAB. You know, when people come to our church, God willing, they will see people who don't just do welcoming things, but have welcoming hearts. People who are friendly from the heart and who want to know more about people and include them in their lives and who respect where people are at. And the reason why we do all this is because God has welcomed us and because we've learned it from our church as well. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to go into reflection time. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you welcome us. Thank you that we see from your character that you don't just hang out with people who you like. And you don't just hang out with people who are the same as you. But Lord, you welcome us, people who are your enemies, people who are very, very different from you, into your family. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've done this through your Son, Jesus Christ, who gives us forgiveness, who gives us that clean slate so that we can be right with you. Heavenly Father, we pray that we may do that with others. Please help us to have that same heart that wants to welcome and include others into your family as well. Lord, please help us to know those things, those right things to say, to be friendly and welcoming people to others. Help us to learn those things from the church as we deal with people who are different from us. And Lord, let that blessing spill out into the rest of the world. Let it change us and make us more welcoming people that are based upon the gospel that shows that you have welcomed us. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.